Yes, Lord, this morning we say you are great, and we rest in this truth that you are the giver of life. So, Lord, as we gather here today, as we sing, as we open up your word, as we are in fellowship with one another in this community, I pray that you would breathe life into us. Lord, meet us where we're at today. That's what you always do, but Lord, transform us. Transform us. May we not be the same. Because we've been with you, we've seen you, we've heard your voice. Holy Spirit, as we open up the scripture that you inspired and you gave, would you allow this truth to go down deep and bear much fruit? We love you. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please have a seat. Before we open the scriptures up, I want to pray for just a couple people in the room here. You know, we celebrated, we remembered the 20th anniversary of 9/11 yesterday. And I don't know about you, but I remember exactly where I was at. I was a senior in high school, and I was helping people come to our county fair in Ohio. And I heard the news as I was working the gate. Super sobering, and as I watched some of the videos and some of the tributes, I'm just stirred again with what happened that day and the courageous men and women in those different moments, and even more recently still in Afghanistan. And so this morning what I would like to do is I want to pray for first responders. And so if you're a first responder, or if you are a veteran or a current military reserves or anything, I just want you to pop up to your feet real quick. We want to just pray for you. So if you're a first responder of any kind, veteran, we got the general down here. Yeah, there we go. Got a couple here. Can we honor these people here? Yes. So stay standing. And I would invite you just to extend a hand. We got a lady up here as well. Can you just extend your hand to the person around you? And we just want to pray a blessing over them. It's an incredible sacrifice to do what these men and women have done or are doing, and we're so grateful that we live in a country where we value freedom. Can we just say amen to that? The fact that we're here today is a gift that we don't want to take for granted. So, Lord, I thank you for these men and women, some of which I know, and I know some of their stories and some that I don't know, but, Lord, you do know them intimately and deeply. And I just pray your favor and blessing on each one of them. I thank you for their service to our community. I thank you for the ways that they have sacrifice, that their families have sacrificed, so we also bless the families. And Lord, I pray that anything that they feel maybe they've lost out on, that you would actually restore tenfold. Lord, that they would know that they're valued and they're loved and seen in our community. So Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name for these men and women. Amen. Can we give them one more honor? Yes. And thank you guys for your service. And we're going to be in John chapter 10. I'd love for you to grab your Bible. If you have a phone app, whatever you got, open up to John 10. Today I'm going to start a new series of discussions where we're going to look at life abundance. What does it mean to experience life? What does it mean to experience abundance? And we find this in John chapter 10:10. So for the next month, maybe 2 months, we're going to be digging into what is this that Jesus is saying in John 10, verse 10. It's also going to be on the screen here, but Jesus is speaking, and he says this. He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Can we all just say life? Now, let's say abundant. So Jesus, he came for a lot of reasons. He came to obviously set us free from sin. Amazing. It's a gift. He came to reveal the Father to us, a huge reason why he came. But here he says one of the reasons he came was to give us life, and not just life, but life abundantly. Now this original word, zoe, is the word life here, and it means vitality, energy, never-ending living. It's given from God and sustained by God. So we're going to see this word zoe in the Greek. We're going to see it all throughout the scriptures today. And so this is what Jesus says. I came to give you zoe, vitality, energy. I want to be your source of life. And it's not just short term, but it's for eternity. This is why Jesus is talking about here. But he says, I don't want to just give you that. I want to give it to you abundantly. Oh, how many of you like abundance, right? He says, I gave it to you abundance. That word means superior, extraordinary, surpassing, uncommon. I want to give you life, and I want to give it to you abundantly. Now, this is a beautiful passage, and I think it can get us a lot of rah-rah. Come on, Jesus. Yes, we'll take life, abundant life. Yes, that sounds good. But unfortunately, when we read this, we got to recognize that we are reading this through a Western lens. And even more so, we're reading this through an American lens. And even what is really damaging is this text here, this one verse, has been leveraged for, I think, a lot of wrong things. How many of you know that what Jesus is talking about here is not for you to all be millionaires? Some of you are like, he's not? No, he's not. He's not. That's not what you signed up for following Jesus. Some of you are millionaires. That's great. He's not saying you can't be, but he's not saying that abundant life, abundance that he's talking about, is in material things. He's not saying that you're never going to get sick. He's not saying that you're never going to have any conflict in your marriage or in your relationships. You're never going to have a hard boss to deal with. You're never going to have loss. He's not saying any of that. And specifically, he's not just talking to Americans. We so forget that Jesus is actually in the Middle East when he says this. That steps on some toes, doesn't it? Our world is so much bigger than what we sometimes think about it. And so when Jesus says this, we can't just say in the context of our American understanding that he's talking about us. What we're going to talk about over the next few months, it better be able to be applied not just to us in America, but also the truth that Jesus is saying, it better apply to the person who's scared for their life living in Afghanistan. It better ring true for the person in Haiti who's worried about gangs taking their food. It has to apply to the church underground in China. It has to apply to all people, whether you're male or female, young or old, rich or poor, married or not married. This truth that Jesus says, this is what he came to give you life and have it abundantly, no matter where you find yourself today. And it's good news. But over the next couple of weeks, I want to unpack, I hope, clearly and real practically in some instances, what it looks like for us to walk in the abundant life that Christ has came to give us. Now, I said this word, Zoe, is the word for life, and we see this in a couple spots. So John 17:3, one of my favorite passages to preach on. I reference it a lot because I think it frames up a lot of our understanding of God and what it means to walk with God. So this is the prayer of Jesus at the very end of his life. He's praying to the Father, getting a picture of how Jesus prayed. And in John 17:3, Jesus says, and this is eternal Zoe, life. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, he says eternal life. So let me tell you, abundant life is great, but it's limited to this earth, right? But he says, I want you to have eternal life, and eternity, there is no limits. How many of you are excited about no limits for eternity, right? No limitations, no sickness, no. It's full life, full Zoe. And he says, this is what it is. It is knowing God. I came to give you life and life abundantly. And Jesus says that eternal life, eternal Zoe, is knowing God. Maybe, just maybe, a key to this abundant life is found in relationship with life himself. Because a little bit later, or a little bit earlier in John 14:6, Jesus says this. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the what? What is he? The life, that Zoe, that same word, Zoe. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. What we begin to understand here is that life abundant or abundant life is experienced as we get to know the way, the truth, and the life. That we begin to experience the abundant life that Christ came to give us when we get to know. Now that word know, and we talk about this a lot, but I feel like I just got to keep hitting on, that word does not mean that you know a lot about God. It doesn't mean that you can sit there and you can wow your friends with your, you know, sword drill speed. It doesn't mean that you can quote the scriptures. It doesn't mean that you know the right things to say. It means that you know, that you experientially know the living God. And he says, in that is life. And that is abundant life. And so we get to experience this life as we get to experientially understand Jesus, who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life. Now, what's hard about American understanding of Christianity and what we always have to fight against and push back against is oftentimes we think about the gospel is that God is giving something to me. And it's all about me. I'm the center of the American gospel. I'm the center of the gospel. But the gospel is not quite as much as God gives us something, as much as God wanting to transform us. Nobody said amen to that one. I wonder why. Right? So, man, does God give us things? Yes. I'm having you know, God loves to give us things. Oh, my goodness. He loves to give us so much. But the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is not just that he gave us something. It's he gave us himself so that we can be transformed and to come alive. He doesn't want you to just be the way you are. He wants to see you transformed. This is the gospel, that Christ stepped out of heaven, came to live on earth, and he opened up the way so that we could come into relationship with Christ, that the Spirit of God could come in us and that he could make us alive with abundant life, that we could be more and more like him. This is the good news of the gospel, that we are a people that are being transformed as we get to know God. And how are we transformed? How are you and I transformed? You see, we're transformed by aligning our mind, our words, and our actions with Jesus. This is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, an apprentice, one who follows closely with intentionality, looking, learning, with the point of, man, I want to be able to do the things that he does, to say the things that he does, to think the thoughts that he does. This is what it means to be a disciple. And I'm telling you, as your pastor, this is what I long for you. This is what I long for our church. I think one of the new things the Lord is doing on the earth is that he's not just trying to get a bunch of people in a room and to stay immature Christians. He actually wants there to be a depth. He wants there to be a faith that isn't just surface, but it's deep because they've encountered the living God. And as your pastor, I don't want you to just stay the way you came. I don't want you to just think the gospel is, okay, I prayed a prayer, I'm in, I'm good. No. You prayed a prayer, you're in. Man, you came into the beginning of a relationship with God. I don't even know, when I pray a prayer and I say, Jesus, forgive me, that is not the end. It's the beginning of life with God. Anybody excited about that? Like, it opens up the whole thing. All of it becomes possible. And yet we so often settle for, okay, I prayed a prayer, I got that fire insurance. You know what I'm talking about? But here at this church, we actually believe that Christ, he died for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. Blood is still powerful. He washes away. Yes. But then he says, listen, you've died, and now I want to teach you how to live. I want you to receive everything that I came to give you. I want not you just to get to heaven, but I want to get heaven into you as much as possible. And so we are a people that say, man, we want to be transformed. We want to live transformed. We want to learn the ways of Jesus. We want to walk the way of Jesus. And we want to grow and we want to become alive. And in this passage, this John 10 passage, I think Jesus, he unlocks a couple keys for what it looks like to live and receive the abundant life that he came to give us. Look back in John chapter 10 here, that wherever you're at here in verse 3 and 4. So Jesus is speaking, and he says to him, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep, that's us, hear his voice, and he calls his own by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought them out on his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Man, if you have your Bible and you have a pen, I just want to remind you, this is a holy book, but that doesn't mean you can't mark in it, okay? I would encourage you, if you got like a highlighter, if you got whatever, I would encourage you to underline a few things. I would have you underline where it says that the sheep hear his voice. It happens twice here. And then it says a little bit later, they know his voice. But then it also says, the sheep follow me. I think this is a huge key for what does abundant life look like in any area of your life. We're going to look at marriage. We're going to look at finances. We're going to look at a lot of different things over the next few weeks. But I think one of the keys here, he says, follow me. John chapter 10, verse 27, a little bit later, he says, my sheep hear my voice. There it is again. They hear my voice. I know them, and they, what? Follow me. Oh, could it be that a huge part of finding abundant life, receiving abundant life, is about following Christ, the good shepherd, to hear his voice? That's what obedience is. I think Donna, by the way, she did an incredible job last week of opening up the scriptures, a beautiful message. Love her heart, love how she teaches, so good. But she said something, I think this is what she said when I was taking notes, that obedience at its core is hearing and following. How many of that is a little different than where you grew up in church, right? Obedience, what I said is don't open your mouth when you're not supposed to, don't wear jeans to church, and don't chew gum in the sanctuary. Anybody else like that kind of church, right? Well, that you know, those not bad, but it falls short of what God is actually inviting you to. He's not inviting us to somehow check off a box of things we've done right or we're not doing that's wrong. He says, listen to my voice and follow me. At the core of being a disciple, this is what is required, that you hear God's voice, that you know his voice from the enemy's voice, and then you listen to God's voice and you follow. That's what it honestly means to be a disciple. That's why we value the voice of God so highly here at this church, and why we equip people not just to hear the pastor that hears the voice of God. How many of you know that goes sideways real quick if only one person in a church is hearing from the Lord? Some amen down here, right? All of you can. If you're a follower of Jesus, you know the shepherd's voice, or else you would never have come into the kingdom. Ooh, got some of you turned up. You heard the voice of God, or you never would have come to Jesus. You did. You might not have realized it, but you heard his voice. And so we see that a disciple is one that hears his voice and follows, but what does his voice sound like? And I love how Jesus, he inserts this tension in this story. He says, there's a thief and there's a good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. The thief is Satan. And he says, this is what Satan does. We saw this in the first verse, chapter 10, verse 10. He says, the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. Now, I want you to think about how strategic Jesus is in this. He says, this is what the enemy will do in your life. So this is how you know when you're hearing the enemy. Okay, I'm helping a lot of you out right now. How do I know with what I'm hearing, is it God, the good shepherd, or is it the enemy? A lot of us wrestle with this. Here's a good way to understand it, is that the enemy, when he speaks, he steals, kills, and destroys. What do I mean by that? He steals, he separates what is the owner's from what is theirs. That's what stealing is, separation. What is death? Separation from life. What is destruction? Separating from wholeness. When you're putting a filter for what you feel like or sense you're hearing from the Lord, you should ask, man, does what I'm hearing, does it lead me to separation? Because what we see in the scriptures is that the enemy came to separate. Came to separate us from God, came to separate us from his thoughts, came to separate us from his ways, came to separate you from him. This is what the enemy does. So when I believe that I'm hearing, maybe it's God, maybe it's not, and it leads me to separation, I should really pause and say, whoa, 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 is that of the Lord? Because he says, this is what the enemy does. But the Jesus, the good shepherd, this is what he does. The thief comes to steal. Guess what Jesus does? He gives. Oh, man. He gives generously. The enemy comes to kill. He wants to take you out. But you know what Jesus does? He comes and gives life. The enemy comes to destroy. And you know what Jesus comes to do? We sang about it. He comes to restore. So does it sound like Jesus? When I'm asking the Lord, God, will you speak to me about this situation? If I hear and I sense it's from the Lord and I say, yeah, man, it's leading to him, man. He wants to give me something. He's generous. It's leading me to life. It's energizing me. It's vitality. It's moving me forward or it's leading to restoration. I should lean in and I should say, that's probably the Lord. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? Right? It's a great way to help us understand. But as Jesus unpacks this, John 10:10, he says something. He says, follow me. Follow me. In verse 11, we read something interesting. He says this. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 3 and 4, follow me. So Jesus says, he's saying that to you today, follow me. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Verse 11, right after I came to give you life and abundantly, this is what he says, follow me. And where does our leader lead us? To lay down his life. Think about that. Follow me, Derek. Okay, Jesus. Where are we going? We're gonna take over my business. We're gonna take over my company. Are we gonna, man, we're gonna take a mountain, Lord. Where are we gonna go? No, Derek, actually, where we're gonna go first is I'm gonna show you how to lay down your life, and I want you to follow me. Jesus, bro. Victory. Derek, learn how to lay down your life. See, if we read John 10:10 in context, we see a very different picture of Jesus' understanding of what abundant life looks like. I would say we actually experience abundant life as we follow Christ, as we lay down our lives. And you say, Jesus wouldn't say that, Derek. And I'd be like, oh, let's read another passage. You ready for this? Y'all didn't know y'all gonna get this today, did you? Matthew 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and listen to what he said. He said, if anyone would come after me, and anyone follow me, this is what he has to do. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow who? Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? He says, take up your cross and follow me. And what I would put before you is this is the road to abundant life. Now, how many of you still want abundant life? Ooh, a little different, right? What if, I'm just throwing this out here for you to chew on this week. What if the abundant life that you really want comes through your dying first? Oh, Derek, come on, man. What if Jesus is still saying, follow me. Watch how the good shepherd leads. I'm gonna lay my life down for the flock. And I want you to do the same thing. Do you know what the cross shows us? It's beautiful. I love the cross. It's beautiful. The cross is this. These three things stood out to me this week. First, the cross that Jesus is inviting us to, it's self-emptying. Philippians 2, it says that Christ emptied himself, became a man, humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. It's other focused. It says, I lay down my life. I lay down my life for the flock, for everybody else. And then you know what it is? 1 John 3:16 says, this is love, that one would lay down his life for another. Christ says, follow me. Pick up your cross and let's go. Now, when you say the cross, man, sometimes we get that weird. And I just want you to know, Jesus did not have like a martyr complex. Like he wasn't trying to develop a bunch of people that were looking for ways to die. That's actually not what we see in the scriptures. Jesus eluded death a lot of times before he finally laid down his life. It wasn't taken, he laid it down. Paul, a lot of times when people were coming after him, he would actually slip out of the city. So he wasn't trying to get killed. Jesus isn't trying to say, man, I want a bunch of people that are just go try to figure out how to get killed. That's not what Jesus is saying, but he's talking on a higher level than that, that what it looks like for us to die to some things. And what he's telling us is, man, there are some things that I want you to die to, and when you die to them, you will experience life. You will experience abundant life, but it comes through death first. It's not a popular message. It's the message of Jesus. It's the message that he preached. It's the the message that he lived. It's the message that he is inviting each one of us to do if we want to find abundant life. Pick up your cross and follow me. Romans 6, 4 through 8. It says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of what? Life. Come on. If we have been united with him in death like his, because we're following him into death, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Look at verse 7. For one who has died has been set free from sin. How many of you have died? If you've died with Christ, you've been set free from sin. You're no longer a slave. It says, now if you have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Man, I was wrestling with this week. I was asking the Lord, man, what does this look like? And I even talked to our staff a couple weeks ago because I said, man, this is a heavier message. And man, I want to hear from you guys. What does it mean that Christ is saying, follow me, lay down your life? And I think it's so interesting that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he comes to take away, but what Christ invites us to is go ahead and lay down your life. I'm inviting you to lay down your life. I'm not going to take it. You lay it down. You lay it down. And we had a great discussion in our staff meeting, and where I landed, and I think I put this on the screen here, is that what we're invited to die to is everything that distorts the image of Christ that we were created to bear. That today, God is inviting you to die, to pick up your cross, to everything that is distorting the image of Christ that you were created to bear. It's what it looks like to follow Jesus. It's honestly why so many people turn away. Why so many people didn't want to hear the words of Jesus. He said, is this too tough for you? They're like, yeah, it actually is pretty tough. He said, let me show you what it looks like. And he died on a cross. He said, this is the way. And so for us as followers of Jesus Christ, we want to say, God, here I am. Man, is there anything in my life? Is there anything in my life that is distorting the world from seeing you in me? That's the kind of life I want to live. God, here I am. Man, here I am. I put a list up of things. Maybe here's some things that we should die to today. Number one, self-protection and self-promotion. Man, when I'm insecure, I want to make myself look good, better than I really am. Anybody else? Amen to that, right? And also, I want other people to look bad, so I'm going to talk to them about them. I'm going to say some things I shouldn't be saying about them, because that's what we do, right? That makes it right. That's got to die. Pride, ego. This idea that I got it figured out, that I'm the one that's right, that I'm the one that's correct. I don't need anybody. I don't need God. I got it figured out. False identities. And I'm getting my worth from what I do. I get my worth from this relationship I'm in. I'm getting my worth and my value and my identity from how much is in my bank account or how much isn't in my bank account. Idols, probably not a little statue on your shelf at home, but anything that we're placing our hope that supersedes God, that's an idol. Maybe the last one, this is the one that I feel like we never graduate from, is dying to some wrong beliefs about God, wrong beliefs about ourselves, and wrong beliefs about others. Jesus says, follow me. And then he says, I lay down my life. And this is what he's inviting us to. So this morning, I want to pray and spend about 5 minutes so you can kind of take a deep breath and settle down. We're not in a hurry. I preached a little short. Somebody say amen to that. We're going to give a little space to ask the Lord a couple questions, and then we're going to have some ministry time. We're going to have our team come up, but I'll lead that. But I just invite you just to go ahead and close your eyes. It just helps with distractions. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I just want to speak over you that you have the ability as a follower of Jesus to hear his voice. So Jesus, as we take a deep breath in community here, as we hear your words where you say, follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. Lord, we believe that you are leading us to abundant life. And yet there's so many things that in our life, Lord, that distort the image that we're created to bear, that distort the life that you want to give us. And so, Lord, in this time, as we sit before you, Lord, would you show us any area of our life that we need to lay down at your feet that's keeping us from receiving abundant life from you? Just let the Lord speak to you. Let him share with you. Let him bring something to your mind. And part of following Jesus is giving him things. And so I want you to just think about handing over whatever that is. Whatever you feel like he was speaking to you, whatever you feel like today is keeping you from experiencing life in an area of your life, that you would just envision handing that over to Jesus. And Jesus, as we hand this to you, we know that you are the one that every good thing comes from. And so, Lord, what would you have us to receive from you today? You thank the Lord that he speaks today. That his invitation is still true. Follow me, hear my voice. Hear my voice and follow me. I want you to thank him for the life that he longs for you to have. The abundant life in every area, Lord. We just say yes to you. We say yes to your spirit at work in us. We thank you for the motto of Jesus to not just tell us how to live, but actually to show us how to live, and that you say that there's actually greater life on the other side of these little deaths that you've invited us to give. Lord, as we head out of here today, Lord, this week, would you help us to see and to hear what you're doing in our lives, that we could join you in it. Lord, I pray over the next couple months as we dig into your scriptures of what it looks like to experience abundant life, that you would soften our hearts, that you would humble us, that we would be a people that would be willing to die to what we held true, what we believed, that we would be willing to die when you reveal truth and you invite us to it. Lord, thank you for these people. Thank you for the stories and how you're working in their life. I pray your blessing, your favor upon each one of them. At this time, our prayer team is going to come up here, and a couple things that stood out to me as I was praying. Number one, just today, if you're like, man, I don't know Jesus. I don't have a relationship with him. We believe that coming to the kingdom is more than just saying a prayer and checking it off the list, but it's a transaction where I give him my life and I receive life in return. And so if today you're like, man, I want to know what life is. I want to know this living God. Then we would love to talk to you, answer any questions you have, and pray with you. But also, just last night as I was praying, I felt like the Lord was highlighting feet. I know that's kind of weird. Maybe it sounds weird, but if you have an issue with any of your feet or your foot, we would love to pray just healing and blessing upon it. And then thirdly, and this is the final thing, I just felt like the Lord said, hey, just if somebody needs a word of encouragement or a blessing to be blessed, if that's you today, you're like, man, I just need a word of encouragement. We would love just to pray and speak a blessing over you today. If any of those aren't you, or if you have something else, we'd love to pray for it. But we're people that believe that God moves. Amen. We're people that believe he speaks. So Lord, thank you for this day. We bless this congregation, this family here. We're excited for what you're doing. We're excited for what you're going to do this week. We say we want to be part of what you're doing. Lord, as we step out in faith, as people come forward today to receive prayer, Lord, may you move in power. May your name be lifted up for your glory, Lord, your glory alone. Amen. Amen. Come and get some prayer if you don't need prayer. Enjoy some good football today. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.